The comprehensive SEO platform that every marketer should have in their toolset, with Lukasz Zielecny. Welcome to MarTech Stacked, episode number one. Brought to you by Content Cow. Plan, collaborate on, approve, and publish your content in one simple and intuitive calendar interface. This is MarTech Stacked, the weekly show that delves into the what, which, why, and how of marketing technology. I'm your host, David Bain, and each episode I'll be chatting with a top marketer or a top technologist about what MarTech they use, which are their top tools, why they use the tools that they do, and how they integrate everything together as part of their overarching content marketing strategy and MarTech stack. Joining me today is a man who first started working in the field of SEO in the year 2000. Since then, he's headed up the SEO for several large organizations, spoken at over 100 international marketing events, and he now runs a successful SEO agency based in London. He's still the smartest SEO in town. Welcome to MarTech Stacked, Lukasz Zielecny.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me, David. Great introduction. Thank you very much.
Great to have you on here, sir. And you can, of course, find Lukasz over at the fabulous website address, seo.london. So, Lukasz, explain what your business does and how you use marketing technology to make it better.
Cool. So, you know, as we know, many years, you know my career path. I was working for many years in London as an in-house SEO. And the last role was head of SEO of Uswitch. Then when Uswitch been acquired by Zoopla, I was there an SEO director managing my team. And then, you know, I really wanted to start something on my own. And I was thinking that this kind of, if you can call this a boutique SEO agency, which will be run predominantly by me, would be the right choice. I already had like enough inquiries and I could use my contacts. So almost 2 years ago, I started being on my own, and it's an absolutely fantastic journey. And journey is probably the right word, because it's not about getting to the level that, let's say, you can sell it, or let's say you can retire or something. It's more about this year by year, you're changing, you're improving. Every meeting with my customer improves me. Regarding to technology, you know, I'm using huge amount of tools. Sometimes I'm thinking I shouldn't use that many. Part of them are sitting in the bucket of purely SEO tools, which helps me to manage campaigns of my clients. And the other one is a bunch of tools that helps me to organize my life and my schedules and so on and so on. So I would split this into two buckets. One, purely SEO, purely online marketing. The other one, purely to make my time more efficient, because the day is only 24 hours and that will not change. And you still have family, you still need to sleep, you still need to eat. And if you are one-man band, then it's very important to use your time efficiently.
Absolutely. So obviously, you're a massive fan of technology and marketing technology. Does that mean that you probably use it a little bit too much, or is it impossible to use it too much?
I think it is possible to use it too much. I am trying to be efficient, but also trying to test as many new things are out there on the market. Sometimes I am using relatively old school tools, or maybe tools that someone else would say, like, you know, this is quite old, but you know, I get used to that efficient solution and so on and so on. The same like some people are still a big fan of organizing time in an Excel sheets. And I don't see any problem with this. If that works for you, probably that's a good choice.
Okay, so don't jump in and just use technology for the sake of it. It needs to be the right tool. It needs to improve your work-life balance. So you use that word.
Absolutely.
You use that word efficient quite a bit there as well. Which parts
of your business are you most happy with that you would say is the most efficient at the moment? You split your technologies into, I think, SEO and non-SEO type tools. But looking at very specific aspects of your business, maybe from acquiring customers to ensuring that your existing customers are satisfied or dealing with another specific aspect of your business, what specific aspect of your business are you most satisfied with at the moment from a technology perspective and an automation perspective?
So it's very easy to answer for me because as you see this room where I'm sitting, that's pretty much my office. There are and studio, as you can see. But what I'm very proud of, it is that I'm waking up at morning. I'm going, it's normally like 6:37, going to the kitchen for a cup of coffee, coming back here, and I can start work. So the fact that I can be 100% remote, or maybe not remote, because that's not a right word to describe, the 100% work from home, that makes me super proud. Maybe last year I had some time inquiries from customers who were like, yeah, that's great, the proposal is great, but we would need to meet first. And that really puts me off, because you know how big London is. And I think lots of listeners who are right now with us also can say the same about their own city. No matter if you are New York, LA, even Warsaw, or, you know, Berlin, Barcelona, those are big cities. You're wasting so much time to go from one side of the city to another, to meet someone face to face, to have a cup of tea and then return. That every time I was saying, like, listen, for me to go from East London to Hammersmith, it's like the day is gone. And I think it's better if instead of me going there or there, I will just start working. If, you know, I know that it may sound a bit harsh, but if someone thinks that the fact I don't want to meet someone face to face and I prefer video calls, microphones, presentation on the screen is a problem, then maybe that's not the right type of a customer. You know, maybe that's too traditional. Maybe they are different principles. I respect that. Not every customer is for me. But I can see right now, and especially after COVID and coronavirus, that the trend is obvious. More and more and more and more people will be working from home. This is what makes me the most proud. Yeah,
yeah, you're obviously set up to do that effectively, efficiently, before coronavirus. And it's wonderful for you, for your business, that you're in that kind of situation. And you touched upon content marketing there as well, in that it's how customers discover you. And we'll touch upon that later on in the discussion as well, because what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at marketing technology and specifically how that technology integrates with your content marketing strategy. But let's dive into specific pieces of marketing technology now. So Starting off with number three, which are your top three tools in your current MarTech stack and why?
Okay, so if you're looking at the purely an online marketing / SEO bucket, the number one, and it's for almost like 10 or more years, is SEMrush. I wouldn't be able to work without SEMrush. It's absolutely phenomenal tool, and I'm spending a couple of hours with SEMrush. I like how the tool is improving. And they have also options to start doing pitches right now, which is called Opti. So yeah, I could talk a lot about this. Another one is Pipedrive, which I'm using as my CRM. So as you can imagine, you probably are in the same place. There is lots of inquiries from different sources, like LinkedIn, email, phone, and various other sources you may receive referrals, and to store this I'm using Pipedrive, just to make sure that I have the central point of all my leads there, and then finally, you know, the third one would be quite difficult because I'm using various different sources, various different tools to different things, but I feel like I could mention something a bit unusual, which is Zig Parser. It's another tool to find customers for me. Zig Parser is a very unique tool which is connecting with your Gmail account and is parsing all the signatures of the emails that have been sent to you in the history. And I can find lots of frozen leads, potentially people who contacted me, but then something didn't click. I forgot about this. They are not in Pipedrive. So, you know, every signature is different, but they have a common element, name, surname, company name, and so on, and so on, and so on. And Zig Parser can prepare you a massive spreadsheet where you see not only like details, but also how many times you contacted this person, how many times this person responded, when was the last contact, and so on and so on. And I can find lots of frozen deals. I recommended this to my customers, and one customer said to me, like, man, there is like so many potential in this.
Wow, I love that. I love finding out about tools that I haven't found out about before, and I don't believe I was aware of that particular tool. So you mentioned that you can take data from that tool and create a spreadsheet with that data in it. Can you also then take that data to Pipedrive and then automatically create...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and is that a good way to use it, or is it better to manually check the spreadsheet first of all?
I think it's better to manually check because you don't want to juggle between tools with massive chunk of data. You know, your Gmail have this data, then your spreadsheet have this data, and then the same data in Pipedrive. That wouldn't make sense. You can filter out and say, like, show me only these emails that been contacted me in last 12 months, and at least there was two responses from my side and their side. And let's say the email wasn't not containing at Gmail. So you know that it was in most cases a business email and a couple of other things. And out of 60,000 leads, then you're ending up with 500, but much, much higher quality.
Wow. And these are people that you have interacted with beforehand and they've left an email signature. Yeah.
So I believe that your inbox, your email account, is a fantastic source of potential leads. You have lots of hibernated, I call this hibernated leads. People who are very close to convert, but something happened, or they said, you know what, we decided to go with someone else, and you don't know how the someone else is performing. Maybe they have enough of this guy, and they maybe are in the position like, oh, if I would only remember that other guy who is you or me, and then you contacting, you know. And you know, David, if because you are like say asking me about three tools, and I would like to respect this kind of concept, but I think I need to add on top of that you know we are using with Parul, my wife, who is working with me, Gmailius. Gmailius is helping us to share account, so she can see straight away who is contacting me after. Also, when we sending email to potential customer, no matter if that's our current customer, potential customer, someone who we have from Zig Parser, Gmailius is able to track if the email was delivered, if the email was open, how many times was open. We can pretty much see that live. So that also helped me to understand if that what I wrote reached that person.
Right. Okay. Sorry. This tool that I haven't heard of either is called Gmailius. And
Gmailius, yeah, it's a Swiss tool.
Got you. Okay, so for the listener, for the viewer, what we'll do is we'll make sure that any links to tools that Lucas mentions is on the show notes at martechstacked.com. So you just have to check that out there as well. So certainly these four tools will give you links to there as well. So love the fact that you're mentioning tools that perhaps not many people are really aware of as well. And love the fact that you're actually so focused in on email marketing and getting the efficient interaction going with your contacts for someone that's so SEO orientated as well. And it shows you that even if you just focus on specific aspects of marketing to drive customers, you need to be aware of all aspects of marketing and marketing technology to make your whole life cycle of interaction with your prospects and customers as efficient as possible. So the four tools that you mentioned there, let's just dive slightly deeper into them. And I believe that what you're saying is because they're very different tools, it's very, very difficult to rank them as 1, 2, and 3. Or did I hear correctly in you saying that actually SEMrush is probably the most important tool for your business?
Well, SEMrush is like operational tool. That's my the center, you know. That's something where I am helping, because it's also important to say that I'm mainly doing consultation, where I'm helping in-house team, when I'm teaching in-house team, when we are sitting together through the video call and we are thinking what would be the next few steps that we can perform. Is this a gap analysis? Is this something else? Are we trying to attack featured snippets to make my customer more exposed in the search engine results pages? So that's definitely this part of this part of, like, I have a customer and I need to deliver.
So are you saying that SEMrush is a great marketing technology tool, but it's something that's more important for your type of business because you offer SEO services, and for another type of business, you'd recommend SEMrush, but it wouldn't be necessarily as important in a MarTech stack?
I think SEMrush should be like industry standard, by many considered as industry standard. So no matter you're working in SEO or PPC, in these two cases, definitely. Also content marketing itself, there is lots of solutions that you don't need to be an SEO, you don't need to care that much about SEO, but you can pivot a little the way how you was working until now and work a little different under influence of SEMrush, and you will get much, much better results in terms of how your content will be consumed and so on, because you will put a little of seasoning about SEO and on, you know, not even thinking about this, you know.
And why are you using SEMrush primarily rather than another similar tool out there?
Because there is so many tools inside that for me it's like a Swiss knife. Also, I like the way I can share project between my customers, and I think it's value for money. It's fast, it's reliable. You know, for me, it's like no-brainer at the moment. It's not like, you know, something which can do one or two things. You can do much, much more on that. We have plenty of other tools that I'm also using from time to time, but SEMrush is the central point.
And you mentioned Pipedrive as your sales pipeline management software that you use. So did you consider other software, and why did you actually decide to go for Pipedrive?
I went to Pipedrive because, funny, I was using Hunter to find emails, and they had integration with Pipedrive. And I was like, that was many years ago, 2016 maybe. And I was like, what is that Pipedrive? And that was the first CMS that really convinced me, you know. The setup is almost like Trello. You have cards and so on. I was like, yeah, why not? Let's use it. And it's very, like, you don't need to learn that tool. This is how it should be, pretty much.
It's very intuitive.
It's not always possible that you cannot learn, but you don't need to learn how to use that tool. But it should be. I would love to have every tool that simple as Pipedrive.
Okay, great. So it's a pleasure to use, but it's also really effective in certain areas of your business. Got you. And then to focus in on your email marketing or the measurement of your Gmail success and also your identifying of lost contacts within Gmail, did you consider other software tools for those particular areas in your business?
I think there, I don't know any about any other software. The funny story is when I purchased the account, the author of this tool called me because they are not, I think it was more or less like a side project or something, and that really clicked. You know, it's a bit like the story you can write in the books. There was a problem and the guy found a solution.
Got you.
You know,
so did he design a solution then for his own needs initially before reaching out to the market?
I think it was designed for himself maybe, I feel there is a bit of artificial intelligence inside this tool that can easily process where is the name in the signature, where is the surname, where is the return email, and so on and so on. But overall, you know, it's this kind of tool which sits on top of your Gmail and telling you lots of things about how you're using this Gmail, how you're contacting people. You can sort this by the most contacted person, which probably in many cases will be your wife or your husband, whoever is listening to us. It was like that in my case. So, you know, you have additional layer of view on this data that is stored in Gmail. And people are never thinking or rarely are thinking about Gmail that way. That, you know, why not to do... You know, it's a bit like growth hacking. It's I will tell you a different story. It's a bit like you exporting your contact from LinkedIn, loading them to Facebook, creating custom audience, and start showing adverts on Facebook to your contact, which are mainly on LinkedIn. I was testing this back in the day, and it's like, you know, shockingly efficient. Because people who normally knows you from LinkedIn, now they see you on Facebook. And there is not only this typical normal goal, which is see my advert, perform an action, but there is additional subconscious effect like, oh my gosh, I know this dude from LinkedIn. Now he's on Facebook. What's going on here? He's everywhere. You know what I mean? So yeah.
And can you just remind the listener then the names of these two email tools that you recommend?
Yeah, so we were talking about Zeek Parser, we were talking about Gmailius, we were talking about Pipedrive, and we were talking about SEMrush.
Superb stuff. So we also touched upon content marketing. In fact, in your last point there, you talked about LinkedIn and Facebook, so it's a nice segue into the next section here. I'd like to get a feel for what your overall content marketing strategy is and how marketing technology really fits with that. So just as an overall picture, what does your content marketing strategy look like? Where do you regularly publish? What kind of content do you regularly publish? And do you plan out a lot beforehand?
So I have SEO.London, as you mentioned, and I am publishing there often like how, what type of articles, because I noticed that all the queries with how are very, very often giving you good traffic because people have a problem. They want to visit your website. Then they want to read this, maybe perform some action. And that's one thing. I have also, aside of SEO.London, a couple of other websites, zelazny.uk. I have a couple of Polish websites because I also speak Polish, which is socialmedia.pl, seowordpress.pl. But what is the most exciting, it's that I am using my content marketing also. I'm trying to use this a little more sophisticated than normally, like writing, posting on social media, maybe do some syndication, and that's all. So mainly the one thing is that I am using DeepL, which is artificial intelligence translator, which is much more accurate than Google. And I'm using a plugin called TranslatePress. Wow. So my SEO.London, in fact, is in 5 or 6 languages right now, automatically translated. And I know how it sounds automatically translated, that the quality will be bad. Actually, I was reading articles that have been translated from English to Polish. And because I'm fluent Polish, I can kind of rate how well it was translate. Then the quality is really, really close to be perfect. 95% of the text was absolutely nicely translated. This 5% that left, you can either do manually, or you can say like, this is the cost of saving tremendous amount of money and time for translation this manual. Yeah. So this is one thing, automatic translation, indexation, trying to gather traffic from Russia, trying to gather traffic from Poland, Spain, Portugal, and so on, Germany, Netherlands. And the second thing is that I am trying to make sure that my website is perfectly optimized in terms of all the aspects around SEO. So, you know, that I'm treating myself in that moment as my customers.
Got you.
I'm trying to optimize.
So essentially, your content strategy starts off with a lot of what actually Marcus Sheridan recommends in his book, They Ask You Answer, and that is focusing in on what questions customers or potential customers are asking, what challenges that they're having prior to being likely to be a good fit for your services. And you're trying to deliver as much of that content as possible. Then you're being as efficient as possible with the translation of that content to publish elsewhere. You mentioned social media there as well. Do you tend to syndicate your content from your blog, from your own website, and publish it elsewhere? Do you only publish snippets from your website content and publish it elsewhere and drive back to your website? What's your strategy with social media?
Always snippets because of the duplication of content, and mainly on LinkedIn. I like LinkedIn a lot. I think LinkedIn is the future. I'm not that big fan of other social media platforms. I'm using Twitter, I'm using Facebook, I'm using Instagram, but it's more for fun rather than something serious. LinkedIn gave me so many leads and so many real business, and there is so many real people who need my service that I really, really stick to LinkedIn. And right now I crossed 30,000 followers, close to 30,000 contacts and more than 30,000 followers. Great. And now the next goal is 40,000.
Superb stuff. Double mine.
Yeah.
So I think we've got a good sense for how you use SEMrush or how you integrate it into your business, and also the email support tools that you recommend as well. I'd just like to dig slightly deeper into Pipedrive as well, and how you go about actually taking people who are interested in you and talking about you and what you do, and defining them as prospects for your services. So do you have some kind of opt-in sequence that helps to define someone as a good fit for use of your services? And at what stage do you take them into Pipedrive?
I'm taking them to the Pipedrive when they will respond to me.
Okay.
The first response is a justification. Obviously, as long as this is not like proper refusal. If it's like, oh, let's have a chat, or let's move forward, or let's talk about this, that's a good sign that is landing to Pipedrive.
Is that automated, or is that something that you manually do yourself?
I'm doing the semi-automated. I'm just BCC responses to the email address that is connected to my Pipedrive. And that's one thing. And what was the... I don't have any like proper funnel. I am purely B2B, and I don't think that funnels and offering ebook would work in my case. Yeah, obviously there are some good industries B2B that it works, not necessarily with me. I feel like a proper conversation via email or video, ideally, that's the way to start working, because it's more like partnership, less than business,
Yeah, wonderful stuff. And I've been on your website and I've seen that you've obviously got a book a session with me in my calendar as a call to action there as well. Do you find that to be quite an effective call to action?
Oh, this is really cool, actually. This is a niche product. So I noticed that, especially from Central Europe, there is lots of companies that may not be able to afford London rates and may not be looking for full 360-degree audit, SEO audit, or a proper monthly consultancy. So instead, they're looking to sort out some few problems. They're looking for an answer for a few questions. And like you mentioned, I'm using Calendly in a pro version, which is integrated with my PayPal. So when you're going to my website, there is an emergency SEO session, and people can click on this. There is a little form when I want to know who is your competitor or who you consider to be your competitor. Is your website at least 12 months on the market? Name, surname of the person who is booking, and so on and so on. This form is not that complicated. And at the bottom, before you can finalize, there is this last step, which is a PayPal payment. And then a potential customer needs to pay, and then the booking will go to his calendar. And that works really well, because I'm using these links always manually during the conversation. Sometimes on Slack, someone is asking like, oh, you know, I have this problem, that problem, who would help me? And then there is a link from me to my Calendly. They can book, we can meet the same next day, and they are very happy.
Lots of things for a listener, for a viewer to think about there. But as your business grows, what would you say is an example of a process that you currently do manually that you may wish to automate using marketing technology in the future?
Reporting. Unfortunately, reporting I'm still doing in many cases manually. The same with audits, because very often you need to add this kind of personalized message, personalized bullet point, and that's quite difficult for me to automate. It's sometimes this delusion that what I'm doing, it will be faster, but it's just a delusion, because maybe initially to design something that will be fully automated would take a bit more time, but at the end of the day, that would be fully automatic. And then I would, on the other hand, I could still do the same repeat task, and, you know, this automated system will always win for the long term. So this is something that I would like to move. Also, you know, I'm looking, I've never been like a big fan of artificial intelligence, because for me that was like kind of a buzzword until recently, when I could start listening tracks that been composed by artificial intelligence. You just need to choose what type of music you like, cinematic or hip hop or something. And artificial intelligence will do this. You don't have any problems with copyrights and so on.
Important to let the listener know that you're a good musician as well.
Well, you know, because I am quite efficient in organizing my time, I have a bit more time for my music. Yesterday, I had 9 singles on iTunes. Wow. And this is also something, if anyone who is listening to us is into music and would like to be on iTunes, there is right now plenty of different distributors like DistroKid that I'm using. You're paying them and they're doing everything else. They're uploading everything, they're checking your cover if you have rights and so on, or like TuneCore, there is another one. But yeah, this is topic for different conversation.
Absolutely.
And you know, the thing that... The one thing to add, the thing I'm missing really, it is that, you know, like ZigParser is parsing everything automatically and I'm getting a spreadsheet. I would like to have a CMS that is automatically doing pretty much everything by artificial intelligence. It's on somehow, even Pipedrive, it reminds me a little like filling cells in Excel. I know that they are doing lots of intelligent stuff after, but I'm looking something like a next step, something that I don't even need to think about this, you know, because again, the day is 24 hours and you could hear already 5 tools I'm using, and that's not even 10%.
I tell you what, you gave the listener a lot to think about there as well, but also in terms of the structure of the overall podcast Martech Stacked. We're just starting out here, and podcasts always morph slightly over time. And your last comment there gave me a thought that perhaps to finish off conversations, it might be good to ask the guest, what is something that you've got in your mind that would be a wonderful piece of marketing technology that perhaps doesn't even exist yet, but you would love to see created? Yeah. So that could be a nice closing off question.
So, absolutely.
You've offered a lot of great tools there as part of a conversation. What would you say is the key takeaway for the listener from today's discussion?
The key takeaway is, one, that you cannot be too comfortable. You always need to be ready to change, because this is what makes people progressing. This is what makes your company progressing. So don't stick with things that, okay, now it works, don't touch this, we always been doing this like that, and so on and so on. I think this is the main problem we have right now in the world. If you take a books published in end of 19th century, people were thinking that today we will be flying to offices and so on, almost like super futuristic. We are not doing this because I think that many of us were thinking during last 100 years that this is always how it was. We need to stick with that. So my advice to all our listeners today is don't be too comfortable with things you are at the moment, because tomorrow you may need to change many things.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your tips, sir. What's the best way for the listener to find out more about you and what you do?
Absolutely. SEO.London, that's one of the way. The other way is to go on LinkedIn, where I'm pretty much always, and just type my name and surname, Lukasz Zelezny, and you can find there is only one Lukasz Zelezny, so you will not be confused.
Wonderful stuff. Thanks again, sir.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, dear listener, for joining us. If you haven't done so already, sign up for your free trial of Content Cal, plan, collaborate on, approve and publish your content in one simple and intuitive calendar interface. Plus, check out all the other Martech Stack show episodes over at contentcal.io. Also, wherever you're watching or listening to the show, let us know your opinion. What are the three most important marketing technologies in your business? Let us know, and we'll try and give you a shout out on a future show, or maybe even have you on as a future guest. Thanks again.